days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord.
Welcome to Love's Last Call with Evangelist Carol Ann of Agape Light Ministries. Please open your hearts to hear an anointed message that will encourage and empower you to walk in the love and light of God's Word.
Beloved, as we embark upon part two of The Other Jesus, I would like to begin by taking us to the book of Matthew, chapter 16 and verses 13 to 18, where the true identity of Lord Jesus the Christ is evidenced in power and in majesty. Now when Jesus came unto the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, saying, Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, But who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not overpower it. By the authority of the Father, the Holy Spirit opened Peter's eyes to see the genuine Christ in his true and majestic identity. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the great I Am. And upon the foundational rock of Peter's revelation, Jesus promised to build his church with glorious declaration that the gates of hell would never prevail against it. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, knowing from the beginning those who would be called forth to be chosen. In Romans 8:29-30, it is written, For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those he predestined, these he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. And in Ephesians 1, verses 5 and 11, it is also written, He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. For in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works all things after the counsel of his will. The Holy Spirit seeks out his lost ones, drawing them to the Father with love-endowed grace, shining his light of truth through his blood-bought church, who as his born-again beacons of the true light, lead those who are yet to be found to join them, to the one who alone is the way and the truth and the life, and the only true God of our salvation. The unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ is the key that unlocks the narrow gate unto eternal life that can only be entered by those who have been drawn by the Holy Spirit, who brings them to genuine repentance in heartfelt belief that is crowned by complete surrender to their Savior. And the one who enters that narrow gate will never be lost again, for they have now been found and eternally secured by the Shepherd of their souls. Hiding in the shadows of deception and falsehood, however, is Lucifer, also known as Satan, God's adversary, who, as the god of this world, comes to rob, kill, and destroy. And this is where our contending for the true faith becomes critical, beloved, for this is where the war over the souls of God's called ones is being waged. In a commentary written for Bible Study Tools entitled The Rise of a Counterfeit Christianity, they allude to the other Jesus, who is the masterful counterfeit of Lucifer. This deadly impostor is really the Antichrist spirit in disguise, the one who is being readied to rule over his one-world religion, that is dressed as the harlot of Revelation 17. and which will be comprised of counterfeit Christianity and every other false way known to man that has been ecumenically melded into her. They write, Lord Jesus gave an ominous warning that many false Christ and false prophets would arise and come in his name, teaching a different gospel and deceiving many. The result being a counterfeit of true Christianity that would largely supplant the true church by presenting another Jesus. This blasphemous and prideful ploy of Satan will never succeed, however, because Lord Jesus, the true and only Christ and great I Am, has already declared that the gates of hell will never prevail against his true church. For his holy remnant has been sanctified and preserved under the covering of his unadulterated word of truth and the genuine revelation of the one who alone is the truth, Lord Jesus the Christ. Nevertheless, it must be understood that until every lost and called one has been found, chosen, and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the enemy still pridefully continues in his futile intention to usurp the one true and only God of all creation and to rule in his place. And as he continues in this fierce and yet hopeless endeavor, he is attempting to take as many captives to his lies and deceptions as he can. In this demonic effort, he has unleashed his rulers, his powers, the world forces of this darkness, and the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, as confirmed in Ephesians 6:12. And we, as the ambassadors of God's inerrant word of life and truth, are being called to battle, with the mandate to contend earnestly, especially now as the last things unfold all around us. For the true faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints, as recorded in Jude 1:3. In Matthew 24:4-5, Lord Jesus exhorted us to take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name and will deceive many. People often assume that all, or at least almost all, who bear the name Christian follow the beliefs, teachings, and practices of Jesus Christ. But the Bible tells us that not everyone who accepts the name of Christ is really a true Christian. Jesus foretold that some would claim his name, but deny him by their actions. He said that they would call him Lord, but would not do the things which he has commanded, as evidenced in Luke 6:46. Like the people addressed in Isaiah 29:13, they would worship him with their lips, but their hearts would be far from him. Jesus and his apostles warned of false prophets, false apostles, and false brethren, with revelation that two opposing religious entities would emerge in the last days, both claiming to be Christian. One, the genuine church that Jesus founded on the rock of Peter's confession, that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of the living God, that would be led by God's Holy Spirit and remain faithful to his teachings. The other, a masterful counterfeit, that would be guided and influenced by a different spirit, the Antichrist spirit, which would on the surface appear to accept the name of Christ, but twist his teachings to create a counterfeit of the true church of the living God. Both would use Christ's name and claim his authority. Both would perform works that would outwardly appear good and right. Both would claim to be following Christ's true teachings. But only one would faithfully represent its founder, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the genuine and only Messiah of God. The counterfeit would capture the minds and hearts of deceived ones by attaching the name of Christ to biblically insupportable religious customs and doctrines of demons that Jesus and his apostles neither practice nor would ever approve of, while drawing the many other false ways into it in formation of the one-world religion of the Antichrist. Disregard for God's law would finally become the foundation of a popular and successful counterfeit Christianity, a false way that allows the sinner to remain in their sins while believing that they have inherited the kingdom of heaven and all of its blessings, carrying with it a distorted view of God's grace. Just as Jesus had foretold, unscrupulous teachers pounced on the teachings of Paul and the other apostles and twisted their meanings. Peter addressed this travesty in 2 Peter 3:15-16, where he wrote about the untaught and unstable who distort the scriptures to their own destruction. By distorting the apostles' words, first about grace, and then about those fleshly ordinances that are no longer necessary, they discovered a way to excuse their unlawful behavior. Jude 1:4 expressed it well. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into licentiousness, and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. To them, grace excused sin, the breaking of God's sacred law, by allowing them to disregard scriptural teachings that they did not like. They twisted Paul's explanation that we cannot earn salvation with our own works into an excuse for making no effort at all to obey God. It is a hyper-grace that is dressed in a superficial appearance of godliness, but that holds no power unto salvation's eternal life promise, in new birth, regeneration, miraculous reality. For it is being carried on the back of the other Jesus, who is really the Antichrist in disguise, and who is being preached by the false apostles, teachers, and prophets, who come dressed in sheep's clothing. But inwardly they are really wolves who come to devour and destroy. To understand God's perspective regarding these false ones and just how serious this matter is to him, we need only to go to 2 Peter 2:12-19, where the Holy Spirit speaks through his servant in revelation of these agents of darkness and their prophesied end. But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct, to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed, suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong. They count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions as they carouse with you, having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, and having a heart trained in greed. Accursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he received a rebuke for his own transgression. For a dumb donkey speaking with the voice of a man restrained the madness of the prophet. These are springs without water and mist driven by a storm, for whom the black darkness has been reserved. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom, while they themselves are slaves to corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. Beloved, this Holy Spirit rebuke is of the utmost life or death seriousness, and as God's ambassadors of light and truth, we must take it seriously as well. For as the last prophetic minutes on God's time clock push us ever nearer to the midnight hour and the end of this age, Lucifer's counterfeit savior is being readied to appear on the stage of earth, with the rapture of God's holy remnant being even nearer. The wheat is being separated from the tares as God's genuine salvation miracle of new birth regeneration marks the identity of his own, with blood-bought eternal life assurance. The Lord's holy remnant is being stationed in readiness to proclaim his true gospel with courage and conviction. And when the last lost one is found and brought into the fold, we will be leaving to meet Jesus in the air, soon and very soon. In closing, I leave you with 2 Peter 1:19. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. And, as always, beloved, I bid you His agape.
You've been listening to Love's Last Call with Evangelist Carol Ann of Agape Light Ministries. If you have a prayer request, please contact us at Agape Light Ministries, P.O. Box 6313, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006, or via our website at www.agapelightministries.com. Again, that's www.agapelightministries.com.